are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode is being recorded and dropped on the 30th day of October, 2021. Thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available for free on all platforms. This show is partially brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the free app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Today, we're going to be talking about Game 3 of the World Series, which has been by far the most exciting game of this World Series. Jake Mastriani of Locked On Braves, Eric Heisman of Locked On Astros are going to have their thoughts on the show. And we're also going to be hearing from our Locked On insiders, including Gordon Beckham, former White Sox infielder, and Kenny Stevens, who's going to be hosting the Locked On Insider segment. I'm going to give you some of my thoughts and looking back to some of the October 30th of the past. Now, oh, by the way, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. I am your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Okay, before I go over my thoughts of the game, let's hear the two recaps from the people who were, let's just face it, they're having the most emotion over this game. Let's first hear from Jake Mastriani of Locked On Braves.
The Atlanta Braves take Game 3 of the World Series back at home with a 2-0 win over the Houston Astros to go up 2-1 in the World Series. Jake Mastriani here from Locked On Braves. And what a Game 3 it was. A rainy, cold night in Atlanta. You didn't expect a ton of offense in this one, but the Braves pitching was very dominant from beginning to end. Ian Anderson with a no-hitter through 5 innings. There's a questionable decision by Brian Snitker to pull him there, but works out in the end as the bullpen gets it done. The big four in the back of Minter, Jackson, Matzik, and Will Smith close the door. The Braves get just enough offense and come away with a 2-0 win, a very big win for the Braves with a couple of bullpen games coming up. Check us out at Locked On Braves. We'll be breaking down everything from an exciting Game 3.
Thanks, Jake. And well, you know, the Braves are in decent shape right now, although Game 4 is going to be interesting. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Eric Heisman has the other side of the story. He's the co-host of Locked On Astros.
This is Eric Heisman with the Locked On Astros podcast. And unfortunately, the Astros dropped Game 3 of the World Series to the Braves. And now they find themselves in a 2-1 hole. And after only getting 2 hits the entire game, Ian Anderson for the Braves pitched 5 no-hit innings, and he was lifted. That was an interesting move by the Braves, but it ended up working. In fact, Ledmys Diaz didn't get the first Astros hit until the 8th inning, so the Astros managed only 2 hits in the entire game, especially in the World Series, especially against a team like the Braves. You're not going to win with 2 hits. So come on, Astros, you got to do better. And Luis Garcia, he didn't have his best stuff. He didn't have his control. Yes, he was throwing in the upper 90s, 97.8, I believe, at one point was his max. But if you don't have the control, that walk in the third inning led to the first run. So the Astros, unfortunately, after they gave up those 2 runs and they just weren't able to score. So we'll talk about this and more on tonight's Locked On Astros podcast.
Thanks, Eric. Hey, let me just give a couple of my initial thoughts of the game. First of all, it was, you know, by far the most exciting game of the series. The first 2 games were, as I said the other day, I mean, they were great if you were fans of the team, but both teams ran up leads early, held on to them, and that was that. This was a tight game right to the end, right to the final batter. And that's what you want, especially when you don't really have a dog in the fight. Of course, you had the combined no-hitter factor. And I happen to like combined no-hitters. I think there's something funky about them. I think there's something about them that I kind of enjoy. I kind of like how weird they are that you could have a game where it should be someone's lone accomplishment is throwing a no-hitter, but you're spreading the love to a bunch of relievers who wouldn't normally be in the record book for something like that. I don't want every no-hitter to be a combined one, but I do find them to be a funny quirk. We're seeing, of course, more of them than you used to, because you know we're not letting pitchers go deep into games. But look, I don't begrudge Snitker for taking Anderson out after five no-hit innings. I really don't. I do question one element. I mean, obviously, he hadn't thrown a lot of pitches. He hadn't even thrown 80 pitches yet. I'd say, hey, look, maybe he could throw a sixth inning. And the main reason I ask that is because, you do know you have a bullpen game the next day, and this guy's throwing a no-hitter. I mean, wouldn't the best thing to do is to have your bullpen fresh and, not have to lean on Matzek and not have to lean on Smith in pressure-filled innings and make sure that everyone's rested and ready to go? I understand that. On the other hand, Brian Snitker has the team up 2-1 with home field advantage in the World Series. And so basically all he has to do is split the next two games, and he has his team on the verge of winning the World Series. So it's really, really hard for me to criticize a manager who has his team that had a losing record in early August on the verge of winning a World Series title. It's tough for me to question their strategy. And the fact of the matter is he didn't use a lot of the pitchers in, very long stretches. And mercifully, they started the inning. I'm going to get into something in just a second. So, I'm going to the box score right now. And you had Minter through one inning. And Minter threw, I don't think Minter even threw 10 pitches. Oh, he threw 17 pitches. That's right. Jackson came in. He threw 11 pitches. Madsick came in. He threw 15. And Smith threw 14. So on the one hand, he got through that game and nobody was worn out. So they're all available to go tonight. If the game's an early blowout, and I really hope it's not, then they probably will rest today. The question, of course, comes up, like what happened with poor Nick Pivetta in the game that I'm not completely sure is over between the Rays and the Red Sox is, if you're, playing this game of chess in the fourth and fifth inning, that by the time, if it goes into extra innings, and remember, it was 1-0 going into the eighth, and it was only 2-0. The tying run was at the plate in the ninth inning. This could have gone deep. We could have gone a long extra inning game. And maybe, just maybe, we're like, oh, man, instead of using one of our best relievers in the sixth or seventh, it'd be nice to have them in extra innings instead of using all your best pitchers before the ninth. Again, there's a little old man cell here, but there's also a little bit of, is anyone thinking about the contingency plan here? Again, tough to criticize a manager who has his team up 2-1 in the World Series. It's just laying there. The thing that, this is a pet peeve of mine, Dusty Baker did a few times. And when we're talking about the pace of play in a game, the thing that drives me bananas, two outs, nobody on, you bring in a pitcher. You want to talk about pace of play? Let's address that. I've talked about it before, but it happened twice, where there's nobody on base. There's two outs. You stop the game, walk up, the guy walks out. The new guy comes walking in, he warms up, we come back, he gets the out, they walk back, they walk out. That slows the pace of the play down. Would it kill it to say, look, you got two outs. You got your two outs. Get the third. Again, it's harder to take that cavalier attitude when it's a 1-0 game and Eddie Rosario is coming up to the plate. But, we talk about like the tremendous job by the Braves pitching staff who came, within two innings of throwing a no-hitter, a combined no-hitter, of which you would have had a parade of Braves relievers, say that three times fast, alongside Don Larson and Roy Halladay. Okay, that would be a little strange. But look at the Astros pitching line. 8 innings, 6 hits, 5 strikeouts, 5 walks. Okay, that's too many. Two runs. One of them was on a solo home run in the eighth, and 10 strikeouts. That's a decent line. That's a decent line over 8, of which nobody got clobbered. Garcia was not really effective. I have no problem with taking Garcia out in the fourth inning because, you know, Taylor got him out of some trouble there. And while Garcia only let up the one run, he let up seven base runners. He gave up seven base runners. In fact, did he hit a batter? No, he didn't hit a batter. Okay. I knew there was a hit pass, but it wasn't by any of the Astros pitchers. So Garcia was not very effective. I get it. And when you're on the road and you want to stop the bleeding early. So look, we don't have time to turn this into a 2 or 3-0 game. We need to make sure it stops now. So I have zero problem with bringing in Taylor to relieve Garcia in the fourth inning. That was a smart move. I also have zero problem with having Yimi Garcia start the inning fresh. I got it. That makes total sense. But there was the relieving of Garcia and the relieving of Rayleigh were with two outs and nobody on. And in both cases, they immediately got the out. Would it have killed the Astros to stretch out one of those relievers, to have one of them throw more than one inning, to have to let them at least finish some of those innings? You know, nobody got clobbered. Garcia was not effective, but none of the relievers got clobbered yesterday. So look at, I mean, they have Presley, they have Odorizzi start, you know, both available for today's game against, with Zach Greinke starting. I just think that, I just wish that that was something that was not as commonplace, because that does slow the game down. It does. And it grinds it to a halt. There is something that I would like to see happen in this World Series, and it hasn't happened yet. A lead change. We had the Braves tie the Astros briefly in game two, in like the second inning, I think. And then the Astros went on a big rally and put the game away. The Braves scored the run in the third inning and then hit the home run in the eighth inning to give them an insurance run. We have not had a lead change yet. We've had a good game now. The series is starting to find a little bit of a personality, but we'd be really nice, really, really nice to see a lead change in game four, because that would mean we're seeing a little bit of action and a little bit of, a little bit of a story unfolding. That would give us a nice boost of energy in this World Series. And if you need a boost of energy, here's what you should do. Whoop, there it is. It's blurry. Now it's back. Built Bar. Ooh, it was upside down. Bad, bad use of sponsor. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars out there. And let me tell you, they are great. I have a Built Bar next to my computer because they are so good. What flavor is this again? This is the coconut brownie chunk, which is really great. But you also have coconut, cherry barcia, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate, and my personal favorite, which is raspberry. If you can't decide which flavor you want, what you should do is you should get a mix box, which has two of each of those great 9 flavors. But they're not just delicious, they're healthy too. You get 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories range from 130 to 180, 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 grams net carb. Great flavors, all amazing, all healthy. Order today, get the grasshopper cookie or the raspberry or the, which one is this again, coconut brownie chunk, whatever you want. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty neat. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15. You get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Hey, before we go to the MLB Insider, I just want to make sure I'm not whining about the game. I thought it was a fun game. It was certainly the most exciting game we've had in the World Series so far. I would like to see a lead change. And I just, the changing of the pitchers when there's two outs and nobody on just always seems so unnecessary. It takes away sort of the competitive edge to it. And it kind of reminds you like, oh yeah, we're grinding this out here. I finished that inning out. Come on, let's go see that. But we're going to have a bullpen game today. So if you like relief changes, it's going to happen today. You're going to have, you know, Greinke is probably going to go one pitch. I'm not sure if I'm starting today. It might be Charlie Liebrandt. I'm not sure which Braves pitcher is starting today. Wouldn't mind seeing a slugfest. I'll get into in the third segment of what I wouldn't mind seeing. But for right now, let's go to the MLB Insiders and get some inside thoughts as we hear from Kenani Stevens and Gordon Beckham, our MLB insider, on their thoughts of Game 3 of the 2021 World Series.
Welcome into another edition of Locked On Now MLB Insider Report. I'm joined by our MLB insider, Gordon Beckham. I'm your host, Kainani Stevens. We've got some instant reaction for Game 3 of the World Series. And Gordon, I guess we were kind of due for one of these low-scoring, regular playoff baseball affairs. The Astros were held hitless until the eighth inning. I guess for you, who or what was most impressive to you in this game?
Yeah, I think the Braves staff altogether was amazing. I mean, Ian Anderson was not that good tonight in terms of the stuff that he has. He obviously held them to no hits, but he didn't have his best stuff, which is telling you a lot. He's 23 years old. And then the bullpen picks up right where he left off. Pretty special night by the Braves in general. They didn't have to score a lot. It very easily could have been a no-hitter. I mean, one was kind of a bloop single that probably should have been caught, and the other was a good job by Bregman to get a knock later on, get the tying run to the plate. But it was a completely dominant performance by the Braves bullpen and pitching staff altogether. So special night in Atlanta. Obviously, you know, one of the things that played a factor tonight was it was cold in Atlanta, kind of unseasonably cold, and it was rainy. It was kind of – the weather was nasty. Houston's generally used to playing inside of a dome. And so it was definitely telling tonight that it got to Houston a little bit. Their offense does not look synced up at all in any fashion.
They've been struggling offensively in this series, certainly. You know, for both teams utilizing the bullpen in this game, what is this kind of setup going later in the series? I know there was mention that maybe Greinke will pitch, but, you know, the Braves are probably going to be a bullpen game again. So how does this kind of set things up for the rest of the series?
Well, winning the second game is just a big game. Or, excuse me, getting to two wins is a big game. And I think the Braves are in a pretty good spot. I mean, they used a few guys out of the bullpen tonight, but not like it wasn't like a full bullpen game. So I think obviously it's gonna pay a toll maybe on Sunday, maybe not tomorrow, but more so on Sunday. Houston doesn't know who's pitching. Atlanta doesn't know who's pitching because of all the issues they've had. Morton went down, right? So there's just kind of a lot of unknowns. But I think that Atlanta's got to feel good about where they're at. I mean, their bullpen is pitching better than it did all season. Houston's offense, which is the best offense in the big leagues all year, just looks completely lost at the plate. And the Braves got a chance to close it out at home. I mean, you know, obviously they got to win two more games, but they haven't lost. I mean, they're 6-0 this playoffs at home. So they're really feeling good at Truist Park.
Obviously a disappointing performance for the Astros tonight, but, you know, the whole series has been very back and forth. It can change at any point. So far, have you been most impressed with the Braves? Is that the team that you're really seeing being successful so far in this?
Yeah, I haven't been as impressed with the Astros. I've watched them a lot this year, and their offense is dynamic, and they just don't look like they're being the offense that we know. I think that there's the time off in between series had them kind of start off, you know, kind of rusty, and then another off day, and they looked really bad tonight against a guy that really didn't have his best stuff. I mean, he was walking guys. He hit Bregman, and so he just hit a couple guys actually. So they were getting base runners on. They're just not hitting. And so it's not so much that the Braves have been that impressive. It's been the fact that Houston has been just pretty dismal so far. I mean, they just have not done anything great. Their pitching staff has done enough to keep them in games. But at the end of the day, like, they got to be able to score some runs, and their offense is just not looking good. If I was a Houston fan, I wouldn't feel good about the way that they're having the at-bats they're having. It's just not a good thing. But, yeah, I would say Atlanta looks like the better team right now. They've looked they've got something going on. I mean, you've watched them the whole postseason. It's just they found a way to win, found a way to win tonight. In the bottom of the eighth, Darno hits a home run to really just kind of, you know, just you know, put his foot on somebody's throat. I mean, it was two runs, but at the same time, it was like nobody was swinging the bat on Houston. So two runs was ball game.
Two runs felt like 10 at that point in this one. It did feel like a little bit of a missed opportunity for them. Obviously, they're still, you know, need to win. The Braves need to win two games to win this World Series. But does this next game really feel, it feels like to me that it's a must win for the Astros to kind of stay in this.
I think it's a must win. Now, that being said, I mean, the last time the Astros were down 2-1, they won the series, right? I mean, against Boston, they were down 2-1 and came back and won three straight. So nothing, you can't put anything past this team. But if the Braves go up 3-1, they're going to feel really good about that and a chance to close it out at home. I think that's going to be too much for the Astros. So, yeah, I don't think it's a must win game. But if they don't win it, there's a really good chance that Atlanta's going to be holding that trophy at the end of the year.
Thanks, Gordon. Obviously, game four tomorrow, game five is going to be on Halloween. So make sure you tune in for both teams. We have Locked On Braves and Locked On Astros. We'll have you covered for Locked On MLB insider Gordon Beckham. I'm Kainani Stevens. Locked On, your team every day.
Thanks so much, you two. Let me tell you what I really want to see. I am truthfully an Astros fan. Please take note. I want the Astros to win tonight. The main reason I want the Astros to win tonight, well, there's two reasons. First, I want it to be an exciting game. So if the Braves went on a walk-off home run, I wouldn't complain. I want to see an offense-filled victory by the Astros for one reason. I don't want tomorrow to be the end of baseball. And if the Astros win today, then we're guaranteed at least a game six. And I want baseball to go on beyond this weekend. That's what I want more than anything. What I really want is a game that we say, this is the blank game. This is the Michael Brantley game. This is the Freddie Freeman game. To have one player have such a great performance that we assign their name for all time to this game. That's what I want. That's what I want. But I really just want baseball to go in so we have a game six and maybe a game seven, because that's when baseball to me is at its best. Now, I at the beginning of the World Series predicted that the Astros would win in five. So my prediction was completely wrong. And if I put any money on that, I would have lost it. You know why? Because I don't always make the best picks. I don't put my money on that, but if I did, I would have gone to Bet Online, because it's the number one spot for all your baseball, basketball, and football action. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, the baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online is where the game starts. All right, before we go into our final segment here, I just want to point out, listen to past episodes. I sometimes make mistakes, and I called Joe Buck Jack Buck. Joe Buck is the announcer for Fox, and his father was Jack Buck, who was an announcer. The late Jack Buck was a famous announcer for the Cardinals, also did many national broadcasts, including the great 1991 World Series between Minnesota and Atlanta. And he had the famous radio call of the Kirk Gibson home run, which is, I can't believe what I just saw. Also the famous go crazy, folks, go crazy, when Ozzie Smith hit the walk-off home run off of Tom Nienfuhr, and when Kirby Puckett hit the walk-off home run to win game six of the 1991 World Series, he had the famous call, "We'll see you tomorrow night," of which Joe Buck has done a couple of times, some variations on that. I remember specifically he did that in the 2002 World Series between the Angels and the Giants, and the 2011 World Series between Texas and St. Louis, and did a variation of it in the 2004 ALCS when the games bled over into midnight, and he said, "We'll see you later tonight." So anyway, I made a mistake there. Someone pointed that out, and there you go. A couple things happened on this day in baseball, both on the field and off the field. On this day, sadly, 1956 was the sale of Ebbets Field to a real estate developer, which was the first kind of indication that the Dodgers were going to be stepping out. And of course, that year they were one win away from winning the back-to-back World Series titles. And while they were doing that, the team was making plans to head to Los Angeles. Here's a weird wrinkle in what could have been baseball history. On this day in 1967, the White Sox announced that they were going to be playing a series of home games in Milwaukee. The Braves had moved from Milwaukee to Atlanta. Milwaukee County Stadium was empty there, and the city of Milwaukee was trying to lure a new team there. And one team that they could have lured was the White Sox, who were not exactly happy about sharing the city of Chicago with the Cubs and could have had Milwaukee all to themselves. And they were trying out, dipping their toe in it, to see if they could be the Milwaukee White Sox. They did play a series of home games in Milwaukee in 1967 and in 1968. After the 1969 season, good folks of Milwaukee, led by Bud Selig, remember him, bought the Seattle Pilots, an expansion team that had a disastrous first season, and may have illegally turned them into the Milwaukee Brewers. There's always something fishy going on with Bud Selig. The lawsuits around that led directly to the formation of the Seattle Pilots, but not before Seattle tried to get another team to move to Seattle. Guess who? The White Sox. Also on this day in 2001 was the famous George Bush throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium post September 11th. I was not at the stadium. I was in New York City that day. And I can tell you that while in retrospect, it's a heart soaring and patriotic moment, while it was happening, everyone's heart was in their mouth. We weren't sure what was going to happen. We weren't sure if there was going to be an attempt on anyone's life. We weren't sure if there was going to be any violence. It was kind of scary. Then when it finally happened, there was a sense of relief. And that was no small moment. I'm not getting to any politics or anything there. That was no small moment. That was a great moment in baseball history. Also on this day in 2013, the Red Sox won their Boston Strong World Series 6-1 over the St. Louis Cardinals. It was actually kind of a clunker of a game. There was a big bases clearing double by Shane Victorino. Steven Drew hit a home run. Koji Uehara got the final out, and the Red Sox clinched their first World Series at home since the 1918 World Series. They had won a couple World Series before that, and they've won another one since then. And on this day in 2019 was the last time a full season had its World Series title. That was the Washington Nationals in really an underrated game, where Zach Greinke was pitching fantastic until the seventh inning. You remember Rendon hit the home run to bring the Nationals to within one, and then they relieved Greinke. And Howie Kendrick, who had a flair for the dramatic, remember he hit the big grand slam against the Dodgers. He was the MVP of the NLCS against St. Louis, and he had a drive that looked like it was going to be a double off the right field wall, but it just cleared the wall and ricocheted off of the foul pole, making it a go-ahead home run. The Nationals tacked on a couple runs, and for reasons I still don't understand, Gerrit Cole never was brought into the game. And the Washington Nationals won the World Series. It was the first Washington World Series win since 1924, the first baseball championship the city of Washington saw in any form since the 1948 Homestead Grays. And it was a tremendous moment for a Nationals team that went on a great run with finally capped off with a World Series title. And now that that team's been broken up, that 2019 championship looks like a giant sigh of relief of, thank God we snuck that one in. So are the Astros going to win a World Series and make up for that 2019 title? Are the Braves going to make up for all the titles that they didn't win in the 90s and 2000s? We're going to find out. We got a game going on here. Check us out on the free and easy to use Odyssey app, all the places you get your podcasts. Once again, thanks for making us at Locked On MLB your first listen. And if you're going to have a second listen, make it Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Aram Lighton is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep into the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's for free and available on all platforms. This has been Locked On MLB. I'm rocking back and forth. I'm getting excited about today's game for the 30th day of October 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sullivan.